You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, it's time we talk about the other pandemic that South Africa is dealing with at the moment, and that is the pandemic of unemployment, and particularly women's unemployment. If you look at the numbers from Stats South Africa's recent quarterly labour force survey, it makes for very uncomfortable reading. Our unemployment rate has risen to 32.5%. Black women are the most vulnerable group, making 38.5% of South Africa's unemployed population at a formal definition. If we look at the NIDCRAM survey, which was published last year, it showed that net job losses between February and April were higher for women than for men. Women accounted for two-thirds of the total net job losses. Women were more likely to live in households that reported running out of money for food in April of last year. And a retrospective look shows that between 2016 and 2020, women's unemployment averaged 34.3% against 31% for men. Why is this? With this widening gap, it's certainly clear that what we're doing currently just doesn't take into account the unique conditions of women in South Africa. Well, my next guest is no stranger to finding innovative solutions to the challenge of unemployment. Jake Willis, the CEO and founder of pioneering youth employment solution company Luluway. Jake, great to talk to you again. It's been a long time. How do you explain this difference in the numbers between men and women when it comes to our record-breaking unemployment?
It's a difficult question. I think it's a difficult issue to deal with. And some of the issues, you know, as much as, you know, we kind of have the worldwide movement trying to deny differences between men and women and, you know, and look at the, I suppose, the common denominator, I think at the heart of a lot of these issues is a very physical difference between a lot of men and a lot of women, which is simply that men, you know, are stronger. In many, many cases, you know, they're sort of less vulnerable to a lot of issues. And I think that kind of leads to a situation where, you know, in many, many cases, it's just safer and easier to employ men than to employ women. Now, the sort of really strange thing about this whole thing is that I find there's she prefer to employ women because they have better attitudes and they're more committed, nicer to deal with, and sort of a variety of reasons why people, you know, in some cases, in many cases, prefer to employ women. But in many cases, I mean, case in point, I've got the scooter rider program where, you know, we're bringing in a lot of people to work on the various sort of Uber and Mr. D platforms. And, you know, as a very basic, first of all, you know, we get women that come in, and we are getting some women that are coming in, a lot less than men, but they are coming in. But unfortunately, they take longer to learn how to ride a scooter. Their legs are shorter. You know, just a very simple thing. You know, you have a lot of women tend to be a little bit shorter than men, which is a significant impediment when you're riding scooters. A lot more risky to send women out in the middle of the night to deliver food than it is to send men out to deliver food. So there's that whole host of sort of physical impediments that stand in the way of women of being gainfully employed. And it's a difficult challenge.
And we've also got the social issues to deal with as well. The fact that women are probably more likely to be caregivers and at home and potentially looking after children and maybe not going out and seeking work as actively as their male counterparts. Based on your experience with the youth, though, what challenges do you think are specific to young women in the South African context?
Initiate this sort of two reasons so starkly is because the first one, I think, is provide some, you know, better security measures and things like that. But you can't really change that fundamentally. At the end of the day, if a man is stronger and you need to carry boxes around, there's not a hell of a lot you could do about it. But the social side of things, that to me, and I think in South Africa specifically, and I've been saying this for years, you know, even worse than in many other countries, there is a major sort of abdication of responsibility of men from the household. So, you know, obviously worldwide there's a sense that women tend to, I mean, they give birth to the babies, they nurse the babies in many cases. A widespread culture where men literally abdicate responsibility. I mean, I don't know what the I'm not too sure what were the actual proportions of single household, you know, specifically women-led household in the country is, but I could tell you this anecdotally that it's massive.
It's very
you see it
high.
All over the place.
Yeah,
and there, to me, there's a major issue in South Africans' taking responsibilities. And obviously, there's the legacy of apartheid, and you know, we know all the the sort of sense of men being separated from their families, which kind of led abdication of responsibility by men from looking after their families. That to me is a major issue, and that is something that on a social level needs to be sort of hammered and needs to be looked at. In terms of what can be done to solve it, I think, you know, as far as I could go, to me, it's almost like you want to have, you know, what do you call it, where you prefer women for jobs, even, you know, because they're excluded from other jobs. In other words, when you have jobs that are available for men and for women, then you should have a preference for women. So admin positions, cashier positions, waiter positions, you know, all the positions where, you know, men and women are equal, that's where there should be some kind of an active preference for women. That to me could go at least a certain way towards equalizing the situation.
And also, I suppose when we conceptualize opportunities at a policy level, if you're in government now and saying, well, we want to drive employment through various government-led initiatives, government's got to think about how it builds employment initiatives that cater to the specific physical requirements of women, but at the same time also not excluding men, which can be challenging. If we look at countries other than South Africa that have tried to grapple with this, are there specific examples that you're aware of, Jake, that can help guide us, that we could potentially emulate in solving this problem?
I think as a country kind of moves on in the scale of development and jobs tend to become more, sort of white collar and more, and less physical, obviously that's when, you know, you start getting some sort of equalization and some level of women being just as equipped to deal with, to work as men. I think, you know, when you're sort of at the stage, and you know, to me, it's a bit of a split kind of thing, because I've been preaching for years that, everybody is sitting and shuffling papers around and working on computers and working on phones, and none of the physical work actually happens because nobody really wants to do it, you know, and there's that, needs to be addressed. So it's a difficult challenge, because you do need, you know, someone needs to run this. Someone needs to clean the floors and to drive the trucks and to build the place and to dig the holes and to drive the scooters and to do all the actual things, you know, to be the plumbers and the electricians and, you know, and all those things that those need to be done. So to sort of say, okay, now let's go and shift the employment initiatives towards initiatives that would favor women the same way that they would favor men. So what are you saying? That, you know, now you're going to go and start, you know, focusing on jobs that are, you know, sort of less manual and don't require physical strength. But at the end of the day, if you're looking at the potholes, if you're looking at the, looking at your electricity challenges, those are all challenges that need hands, that need people to do them. Mm. So it's not a simple thing to deal with.
And also why government is focusing so heavily in its social grant structuring at catering for women if they are structurally going to be left out of large-scale public employment programs. Jake, we're going to have to leave it there. There's always a lot to think about when I chat to you when it comes to the issue of employment in South Africa, and being really frank and honest about some of the constraints that we do face in our bifurcated labour market. That was Jake Willis, the CEO and founder of Youth Employment Solution Company, Lulaway.